I'm Dan Fernandez, and we are here in the beautiful Office Labs garage talking to Reza on SharePoint development. Reza, why don't you introduce yourself?
All right, my name is Reza Chitsaz. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio Business Applications team. And I was responsible for the developer tools for Office development that ship inside of Visual Studio 2010.
Okay, so you mentioned your team. What does your team actually do? It's building the parts of Visual Studio that help program SharePoint, or are you... You mentioned that you were on the on the developer side, not on the SharePoint team. How does that kind of work, and where do you see the integration?
That's correct. So our team is responsible for the tools that ship inside of Visual Studio.
Okay.
That let professional developers build applications on top of the Office platform. So whether it's building solutions on top of the Office client apps, so Outlook customizations, Excel customizations, Word, PowerPoint, etc., or SharePoint customizations. So they can use the Visual Studio tools in order to build a custom app on top of the SharePoint platform.
And, you know, we talked about programmability in both Office and SharePoint. What are some of the key scenarios? You know, I've seen a lot of stuff with Office programmability, and people are probably familiar with it since, you know, the Excel days where you were doing VBA macros. Yeah. How have things kind of advanced, and where do you see, like, the key scenarios for 2010?
Right. So the main thing we're trying to do is to bring professional .NET developers the ability to write, manage code on top of Office, and to build customizations on top of that. So key scenarios being inside of Outlook, mm-hmm. I can now customize Outlook in order to bring external data from my line of business applications into Outlook. So my end users are familiar in using Outlook in their day-to-day work can
sure.
now also look at their line of business data directly from inside of Outlook instead of going outside. So that's one scenario on the Office client side. On the SharePoint side, you know, sky's the limit. I can, you know, build custom web parts. I can build business connectivity services that, again, connect to external data and bring external data into SharePoint.
And what's an example of that? Like, you know, just for somebody that's not familiar with business connectivity services, what does that actually mean? Is that I'm writing custom code? Is it a component? Is it workflow? Is it web services? Or what?
So a simple way to think about it, you can have data sitting inside of another kind of data store. And what you can do with the BCS, the business connectivity services, is essentially access that external data and bring it up into SharePoint.
Okay.
And to an end user, the data looks as if it's living inside of SharePoint. They interact with it via the SharePoint lists. But in fact, what you're doing is you're updating data that's living inside of this external database.
Okay, and this could be like a set of customers or,
you know.
It
could be CRM data.
It could be
anything.
Okay, and the BCS, and just to kind of dive into there, because I think it's a very common scenario doing this sort of application integration. What have you all done in terms of the tooling to make that possible?
We have a project template inside of Visual Studio for business data connectivity. And that project template gives you a designer where you can go design the entities that you want to use and then go write code behind those entities so that you can go and actually access the external data source and again bring it into the entity that then gets represented inside of the SharePoint lists. So there's a WYSIWYG designer.
Is this a web part that you're building at that point, or kind of lay it out for me? I have a SharePoint page on my homepage. I want to have my customer list.
Right.
Am I adding a web part and then within there using the BCS services, or how
right.
exactly does it work, and where does it live, the connectivity services?
So what you're essentially designing is the data structure that you want to represent inside of SharePoint.
Okay.
So let's say I've got a customer database that's living inside of a Oracle database or SQL
sure.
database. And what I can do inside of this designer is I can go actually specify the columns that I want to bring into SharePoint. So I say I want the first name, the last name, the city, and the telephone number. And then I write the data access code that actually accesses the database and use the right credentials in order to get to that. And then when I deploy it to SharePoint, what I've actually deployed is an external content type.
Okay.
Then within SharePoint, I can go and specify the external content type that I want to use for a given list. And when I do that, SharePoint then generates the UI that acts as that external content type that then acts as that external data.
So it's almost like you're adding a new schema to SharePoint, and then it allows you to basically choose that schema, and you can kind of show how you want to select that.
You can think of it that way.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. And once I've deployed that external content type, then once I've generated that list, then end users go to that list and work with the data as if the data were living inside of SharePoint.
And okay, so we've now displayed our customer list. Now, is the process of like CRUD operations, that is all manual, meaning a developer's going to have to go in there, read the data. If there's updates to the data, let's say a customer list, we need to change somebody's email address, from their home to work
right.
address or something like that. Is that all manual, or are there things that you all are doing in terms of the tooling for that scenario, for those external data sources?
So as a developer, they have the option to set up the external content type, whether it's to enable CRUD capabilities on top of the external content type. So if I want it to have read-write functionality, then as a developer, when I'm building that external content type, I've got to go implement those methods
okay.
that actually do the read and write. We do have tools within Visual Studio that set up the boilerplate code, essentially, that make it easier for you to do that. But then accessing the data source and updating it is something that the developer would need to do.
Okay. Now, do you get to use some of the other infrastructure that SharePoint provides? So let's say, for example, it was our employee database of addresses and stuff, where I could use SharePoint security. So I can only change my address. Nobody else can change my address except for maybe somebody in HR who can change everybody's.
Right.
And a lot of those SharePoint and the security groups would already exist. Is that something I'm able to leverage when building apps? To sort of reuse the SharePoint infrastructure?
You can leverage all of that, but then again, when you are using the BCS, the credentials being passed in are something that the developer would need to implement as part of the, again, CRUD capabilities of that external content type. If you're using a regular list, then all that stuff would be, you'd be using just the vanilla SharePoint functionality that's offered to you.
Okay. So I kind of cut you off when you were talking about some of the different scenarios, and we mentioned BCS because I think that's a pretty major one that almost everyone's doing
right.
is I have data from somewhere. What are some of the other examples that people are...
Another very big one is around custom web parts. So SharePoint is all around building web parts that do specific pieces of offer specific pieces of functionality.
Sure.
So the ability to use Visual Studio in order to design your web part, again, using the designers to be able to drag and drop controls, double-clicking on those controls to write the code behind those web parts. And then being able to set your breakpoint and hitting F5 and having everything deployed to your dev server and for you to be able to easily debug through the web part that you're developing. So that's another...
So let's actually drill into that because it's probably a huge change and improvement in 2010. Kind of talk about what is the experience for if you were using Visual Studio 2008 or the previous version of SharePoint, those two together, and kind of what happens in 2010.
Absolutely. So there's... huge improvements to the developer experience when it comes to building solutions or customizations on top of SharePoint within Visual Studio 2010. In the old world, there were no tools that shipped inside of Visual Studio for SharePoint development, mm-hmm. so that's one problem. second thing, if you're able to get your hands on some kind of community effort, or if you want to roll your own functionality within Visual Studio, it was a step. It was about a 20-step process for you to be able to, build, deploy, and try to debug your SharePoint customization.
Right.
So there's a lot of manual steps the developer needed to take. They were time-consuming and error-prone, and just really wasn't the experience the developers were looking for when building apps on top of SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
What we did in Visual Studio 2010 is we really streamlined that experience. So we took it from the 20 manual steps down to 3 steps. You pick the template that you want to create your customization for, you write the code that you want to write, and you hit F5. And all
right.
that other manual stuff the developer needs to do is automated for you. So we build the assembly, we sign it, we deploy it to SharePoint, we stick it into the GAC, we recycle the SharePoint app pool, we attach the debugger to the right W3WP process,
sweet.
And we essentially allow the developer to just debug the SharePoint solution like any other project.
And at this point, I'm stepping into the code, for example, when
exactly,
I hit that breakpoint.
You hit your breakpoint, you're stepping into the code that you've written. Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
And in terms of the process, how does it work? Do I have the option of F5ing to my local machine? Because I may not want to, let's say, for example, we have a team SharePoint.
Right.
I don't want to F5 that one, and basically everybody has a waiting page while I'm debugging that. How exactly does that work, and are there any system requirements?
Right.
Do I have to install SharePoint on my personal dev box, or how does that work?
So the requirement for developing SharePoint solutions We do require SharePoint to be installed in the same machine as Visual Studio.
Okay.
And the key reason being what you called out. We didn't want a case where as one develop, if you're doing team development against the same SharePoint server, if you're stopped on a breakpoint, we don't want the whole server to be frozen, essentially.
Right.
So we need to do local development. We did work very closely with the SharePoint team, and what they're allowing you to do now is to install SharePoint on a client operating system. So
I don't need to install server.
That's you don't. Awesome. Yes, which that's a huge improvement, and developers that we've spoken to are extremely happy about that.
Right.
So as a developer, I'm able to install SharePoint on my Windows 7 developer box. I've got Visual Studio on that same box, and I can go about developing my SharePoint solutions. When I'm ready to actually deploy, we've got a number of packaging designers within Visual Studio that make it easy for me to package my SharePoint solution into a WSP, and then be able to hand it off to my administrator, or go off and deploy it onto my test server. Test out my solution,
right.
And when I'm ready, then go ahead and package it and roll it out into production.
Now, am I able to do, in that packaging, actually do remote debugging? So, for example, it works on my machine. I have the sticker. I swear it works on my machine.
Right.
Doesn't work on our test server or our production server. Are there ways for me to F5 into that when I've done a deployment to a server-based SharePoint?
Right. So for iterative development, where you're constantly developing something, you're debugging things, you'd want to do local development. If there is a scenario where something is reproing on your production box and not in the dev environment, then you are able to do remote debugging of that solution or that issue.
Okay. Now, another thing, just in terms of how tied are Visual Studio 2010 and SharePoint 2010? So can I use the Visual Studio 2010 designer for previous versions of SharePoint, or do I need to, as a developer, get our company, for example, to upgrade to SharePoint 2010?
So we work very closely with the SharePoint team for delivering the Visual Studio SharePoint developer tools. And there were a number of changes that they made inside of SharePoint 2010 that allowed us to provide this type of developer experience. So the tooling inside of Visual Studio 2010 targets SharePoint 2010 and is tightly coupled with 2010.
Ouch.
Yes, yeah. But moving forward, we definitely want to go with the same model that we had with client development, where
right.
we target the current version as well as the N-1 version.
Okay.
So moving in future versions of Visual Studio, we will have support for the two versions.
Okay. Now, another thing, we had started talking about web parts. People really, I think one of the things that we've seen a big trend is the people really taking importance in the experience. And by experience, I mean, what is that web part? I want my SharePoint site to look beautiful, or I want to have a Silverlight-enabled web part. What are you all doing in terms of having a great standards-based experience for building HTML for SharePoint web parts as well as Silverlight?
Right. With respect to skinning and styling my page,
mm-hmm.
There isn't much RAD tooling that we provide inside of Visual Studio. You can still do it with the functionality that we provided, but there's a few more manual steps that you need to take. With respect to Silverlight support for web parts, we do have a download, an extension to Visual Studio 2010 that gives you the template that makes it easier for you to create your Silverlight web part and to deploy it and debug it.
Okay.
It doesn't ship in the box, but there is an extension that we provide. And on that note, actually, there are a lot of additions that we plan on making out of band with respect to the developer experience. And there's a great third-party community kind of developing and building those types of extensions for...
Okay, you've piqued my interest. What are some of the things kind of coming down the road? So certainly Silverlight, and we've seen the ASP.NET team do a lot of these like out-of-band releases
right.
for tools, utilities, the Silverlight toolkit, the Ajax toolkit. What's kind of, is there going to be a SharePoint toolkit and it have a bunch of utilities or how's that?
There's some work that we're doing. I can't really mention it right
really
now.
It's
a little bit top
okay.
secret.
Okay, you're winking. Okay, good.
But But stay, stay tuned, and we'll definitely be announcing it. Stuff that's out there today, there's the Silverlight project templates that I mentioned. There's also the OBA deployment project.
So OBA, a lot of people don't know what it is, Office Business Applications.
Office Business Applications.
Kind of give the quick spiel on what's that and how is it different than just somebody building, you know, the Excel add-in, for example.
So the Office Business Application, it's a very loosely, it's a very loose term, the
it's
OBA.
A marketing term, as you're saying.
So
okay, I got it.
It basically, you know, it's where you've got a client customization inside of Office. So you've customized Excel or Word or you've got an Outlook customization that interacts with SharePoint data.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got this
OBA, is it just SharePoint data? Is that
any external data?
Okay. Okay.
But I think for a lot of the scenarios that I've been looking at, it's been around interacting with SharePoint data.
Sure.
In this case, what this OBA deployment package allows you to do is if you've got a solution that has an Excel customization, for example, that connects to SharePoint and basically shows SharePoint data inside of Excel that then the end user can use in order to graph and do number crunching on or write formulas against. If you've got a solution that has an Excel customization as well as, let's say, a SharePoint web part mm-hmm. within the same solution, what you can do is actually create a SharePoint solution package, a WSP, that contains both the web part as well as the Office Excel document that has
okay.
that customization. And you can
so why would I do that?
So that makes it easier for deployment purposes.
Okay,
I can now hand this WSP off to my admin and they can install it on their server. And as part of that install step, they would get both the Excel template as well as the web part or the list definition that contains that document.
All right, so I got to put you on the spot. What is your favorite feature of the Visual Studio 2010 tooling for SharePoint? And then what is your follow-up question? What is your favorite SharePoint 2010 feature?
So my favorite feature from a Visual Studio perspective has to be our Visual Web Part Designer. So just the ability for me to go file a new project, say, you know, I want to create a web part project, and then have a designer where I can just drag and drop controls onto, double-click on controls, write the code that I want to write, set my breakpoint, hit F5, and just have everything magically deployed to SharePoint, and you know, for me to be able to hit my breakpoint. So that's got to be my favorite feature from a Visual Studio tooling perspective.
Mm-hmm.
From a SharePoint perspective, I've got to say two.
Okay.
So one of them's got to be
you'll get one. So, I'm just kidding.
So in no priority order, one of them's got to be the Business Connectivity Service.
Okay.
That ships as part of SharePoint 2010. So again, the ability to be able to connect to any external line of business data and bring it into SharePoint and have my end users be able to interact with that data as if it were living inside of SharePoint.
Right, they
allows,
just see it almost like as a list.
They see it as a list,
right.
and it's CRUD capable, and there's more stuff. I can take that feature offline. I can take that list offline.
Oh, really?
So from within SharePoint, I can say take offline and do that.
And what does that do? That actually copies locally, or what do you mean by?
It basically integrates it into Excel.
Oh,
or I can actually
okay.
I can specify the app that it would integrate into. So again, I can build integration points into Outlook or Excel or Word or whatever Office app that I want to bring
it
into.
That's awesome.
So that's really cool. Again, there's an offline cache that's there as well that allows you to interact with that data.
And you could technically do update, say, in Excel and have it
push back when you're connected. So it's super,
awesome.
super cool.
That's
got to be one of my favorite features. The other one is around sandbox solutions. So we haven't talked about this today, but within SharePoint 2010, I'm able to create solutions that run in a fully safe and throttled way inside of SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
So as a SharePoint administrator, what this means is that I can now allow end users or developers or power users to deploy custom solutions onto SharePoint and have those custom solutions run in a fully safe and throttled way.
Now, for example, you mentioned some of the third parties. I could take a third-party web part and then make sure that it's running in a sandbox, because there may be somebody, rather than develop a web part by themselves, they may find a cool one in the community, but if folks have locked down customizing third-party
right.
web parts, you may not allow it. In this scenario, I could take that third-party web part and just make sure it runs sandbox so it doesn't do anything crazy?
You can, if that third-party web part were a sandbox web part, you can take it in, you can upload it, and you can actually use it in your solution. So it needs to be built in a sandbox way. Again, there's a subset of the API that you can use that allows you to create this sandboxed sandbox customization.
Cool. Very cool.
So those are my two favorites.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks, Reza. It definitely sounds like a lot of cool features in SharePoint 2010.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
It was a lot of fun.